सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ पूर्णमदं पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Now that we have studied this verse, every time we start this book, we will be chanting that verse, Purnamada. So there has been a little bit of a gap, so I'm going to quickly revise. So the first mantra said that was Purna. We saw what Purna is. Purna is that which is unlimited by space, time and objects. So it is, Purnam is referring to infinity. Shruti is saying that is Purnam, that is infinite, and here that refers to something which is beyond our senses. So then we come to Purnam Idam. This is something which can be cognized by the senses. By any means of by any means of knowledge is okay. We may not be able to directly see it, like we don't see the galaxies or the solar systems, but the scientists have said that they are there, so we believe that. So whatever falls under the purview of our senses is Purnam. And are there two infinities then? No, there cannot be two infinities because then they would limit each other. So is there a relationship between that infinity and this infinity? Shruti says, yes. Purnat Purnam Udachate. From that Purna, this Purnam has come. So that Purna is the cause. This Purna is the effect. And we know two methods by which the cause gives rise to the effect. One is by destructing itself, like the seed, and one is by modifying itself. So have these two things happened with that infinite? We come to know that no, when we think no, that cause has not destroyed itself because we are experiencing this world as existing. So the existence principle is still there, which means it never got destroyed. Okay, maybe it got changed. No, it is the changeless substratum. As well, when we take any name and form, like I told you, there is a tree, then there are branches, then there is ash, there is water. We see that the isness in all these steps has not changed. So the substratum is changeless. On that isness, a tree comes, then a branch comes, then an ash, then ashes come, and then water comes. So we know that the cause has not changed or destroyed itself to give rise to the effect, which tells us that the effect has to be an illusion. Because otherwise it's not possible. We cannot say that the effect is real because there cannot be two realities. Okay? And then when this effect is removed, Purnam Adaya, Purnam Avashishate, when you remove minus, Adaya is to minus. So if you remove the effect, that Purnam will remain as is because this is an illusion. When the snake vision is gone, what happens to the rope? Rope remains as is. Also, the reason that Shruti says that is Purna and this also is Purna is because when it is an illusion, when it is superimposed on the substratum, as big the substratum, so much big will be the effect. So if the rope is 10 foot long, the snake will be 10 foot only. It cannot be 12 feet and it cannot be 6 feet. So it will be exactly that same. You cannot see half snake and half rope. You cannot see that. So that's why when we see this effect, which is so vast, because that is what we can perceive, the substratum also is equally vast. Okay, and that's why Shruti says this also is infinite only. Because why? Because what it is being superimposed on is infinite. So if that is infinite, this has to be infinite. It cannot be any less than infinity. Okay, so that is a very, very important mantra. And then in the first mantra, Shruti advises us to develop that vision. Isha Vasya, that this whole world is pervaded by Isha, clothed. Vas Dhatu, it comes from. So this is pervaded by Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Vasya. Vasya is coming from Vas Dhatu. Vas Dhatu is to clothe or to cover. So Isha, which means the substratum, that infinity, is pervading this entire world. And then tena bhunjitaha. So bhunjitaha has two meanings, I told you. One is to enjoy and one is to now it's gone off my mind. One is to renounce and one is to enjoy. There you go. One is to so what we have to renounce is the satya buddhi in the world. This reality that we are giving the world, we can renounce and then we can enjoy. It's like you go for a movie, you know it is false, but you enjoy it anyways. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the movie as long as in your mind you know that this is false and this is not going to last. So same way with the world. You can enjoy the world, but in your mind that reality, that importance that you have given this world should be reduced. Okay? Tena tyaktena bhunjita ma grada kasya svidhanam. Do not covet, do not greed another's wealth. And I told you, one thing is, what did we come with and what are we going to go with? Nothing. Okay. Or you can also have the vision, whatever everybody is getting is because of their own karmas. Whatever I'm getting is because of my past karmas. So be happy with whatever that we have. And when Shruti says greed, it includes all the other negative qualities, karma, krodha, mada, moha, matsara, etc. So all these negative thoughts, negative tendencies have to be reduced, which is indicating to us that we need to purify the mind if we have to get this vision. You can take Isha to be the Lord. So from the Dvaita philosophy, if you take Isha as God, and then there is, of course, duality between God and me, then this tena tyaktena becomes dattena. So whatever that I'm getting is because of the Lord. And then giving it away, whatever has come to me is from the Lord. Giving it away, enjoy. That is what it is. Or from the, this is the Dvaita school, because Bhakti Shastra falls in Dvaita school. In the sense, we feel the devotee always feels that the Ishta Devata is different from him. Okay. In his mind, he knows, but externally, that is how he will appear to us, that he's praying to the Lord. He's, you know, doing all the things to the Lord. And then we have the Vishishta Advaita school, which says that we are a part of God. So, okay, if you're a part of God, everybody else also is a part of God, and then treat everybody else like that. Just like I have a feeling of oneness. I have different parts in my own body, but I never feel that I like my hands better than my legs or something like that. I never feel that. I have a sense of I-ness in every single part of my body from head to toe. It's my hair, my head, my eyes, my nose, it's my hands. So I have this feeling of I-ness, even though the parts are different, functions are different, sizes are different. There's so many differences, yet in that I have that oneness. So if I have the vision that we are all a part of God, so all of us are a part of God, so that vision of oneness must come with everybody. So then where is the question of coveting others' wealth? It's like you don't say, oh, my left finger has got diamond rings, so now my right finger also needs it. We don't say that. I've worn it, right? So that way it can be taken. This mantra is from the Jnana point of view. As far as Advaita is concerned, Isha is not God. It is the substratum. It is the Sat-Chit Ananda principle. So it is from the Jnana point of view. But maybe some people may not understand this, may not be mature enough to understand the knowledge point of view. Shruti gives the karma point of view. And what Shruti says is, you can live for 100 years. Now, this part we must understand. See, last time there was a question, right? Why Shruti saying live for 100 years? It is not that Shruti is telling us. See, one thing, whatever is an object's natural state, that object will always come back to its original natural state. To give you an example, water, the natural state of water is coolness. water is naturally cool. If you see any hot springs or if you have hot water in the, it is because the element of fire has been added to it. Maybe underneath the earth, it has been added. So now there is a hot spring. So that is hot water. If you collect that hot water from the hot spring and just keep it separate for some time, it'll cool down. Will it constantly remain hot? It cannot. The only way it can remain hot is if heat is being provided constantly. So the natural state of water being cool, it will always come back to its cool state. Now, if we take our body, the natural state of our body is that we must not be getting any aches and pains anywhere. That is the natural state. So if I get a headache, I try to get rid of it right away because that is my unnatural state. It's not natural for us to get a headache constantly, stomachache or whatever, swelling somewhere. That is not natural. And therefore, we will always try to get rid of it. If I don't have a headache for a month, I never ever will think, oh, it's been a month, you know, I never got a headache. Now I should get one. Because it is not my natural state. So I will always, always want to be in my natural state. And that natural state will be the most comfortable state for me. You know, like no aches and pains is the most comfortable state for the body. If there is any kind of backache, whatever, immediately I try to get rid of it. And I never will like to get rid of this state, this natural state, because it is mine. So then if you extend this a little further, our natural state is Sat Chit and Ananda. That's why this Sat existence principle is our natural state. And from there always stems this desire for everybody that may I live long. That is where it is coming from. Because that is our natural state. Unfortunately, people think may I live long as the body. Because they have put the idea of I-ness in the body. They think I am the body. But that instinct to live comes from there, because our natural state is Sat. Our natural state is Chit. So that's why we do not want to live in ignorance. We want to know things. We are conscious of things. We are aware of things. And our natural state is Ananda. That is why no matter how much sorrow you have, after a certain time, you will come back to that natural state of Ananda. Okay? In a sense, that is that is what we are. We are actually that Sat Chit and Ananda. And therefore, Shruti recognizes that. She says, that is your natural state. So you will naturally have a feeling that I should live long. And okay, Shruti says, I have no problem with it. But you must keep doing action for others. That's why, Kurvan, this verse is the seed for chapter 3 in Bhagavad Gita. This is an Upanishad. Shruti will only give one little pointer and not expand on it. That's why we have Bhagavan Shri Krishna expanding on this verse, whole chapter 3, the principles of Karma Yoga. So I told you, Kurvan, how do I know that it means selfless actions? Because action can be selfish also. So the verbal root, there are 2400 verbal roots in the Sanskrit language. This verbal root, kru, some of them are Atmanipade, some of them are Parasmaipadi, and some of them are Ubhayapadi. This Kru Dhatu, Kru means to do. Karoti, all these words are coming from there. So this Kru Dhatu is a Ubhayapadi. It can become Atmanipadi or it can also become Parasmaipadi. So when it says Kurvan, Kurvan is Parasmaipadi. For this, a little bit of grammar knowledge is required. This explanation Bhagwan Adi Shankaracharya has given in his commentary. Because even when you see Gurudev also performing verily work, should one desire to live a full life? There's no other. So deeds, okay. So performing deeds, but not in a selfish manner. Shruti will never advise us to perform deeds for our own selfish ends, to, you know, actions born out of desire and ego and egocentric desires. The reason is because Shruti is trying to help us evolve and help us get liberated from this sansar. So there's no way that she will give us an incorrect instruction. So this Kurwan word, that's why it means selfless actions. And then the principles of Karma Yoga apply. Do with Prasad Buddhi. Do everything as a sense of duty. Do it with equanimity. Do it with detachment, asangata. And whatever results come, accept them as the Prasad of the Lord. Okay, that is what will be a win-win situation. That's why Karma Yoga is always win-win. You may not get the external result, but your mind will become peaceful. And that is what Vedanta is all about. That is what we want to get at, is a peaceful mind. Shruti says, there is no other way. Because see, when a person is living, there is, even Bhagavan Shri Krishna has said it, right? He says that the reason is, you have no choice but to act. There's no, you cannot know, but even the laziest person who says, I'm not doing anything, he's watching TV. Put a person in a room, no TV, no phone, no cell phone, no iPad, no nothing. How long will he last, you think? People think, I'm not going to do anything. Okay, I'm going to just sit and play my video games. That is an action. So nobody can live without action. That's how it is. So if you cannot live without action, then do action with a particular attitude. That is what is told to us. That is what Bhagavan told Arjuna as well. This is, you have to fight the war. Now fight it with this attitude, which will purify your mind and make you capable of gaining the knowledge. Okay. So this is Shruti says, there is no other way. Because there is, what other way is there? This is Upanishad. So this is Jnana. Of course, even in bhakti, there is work. If you're heart oriented and you say, yeah, there is a way. I don't have to do this. I will do bhakti. All right, try doing bhakti. How difficult it is. And even their action is required. So if you do bhakti with, oh God, I want something and now I'm going to serve you, that karma also has to be selfless. Okay, so that's why Shruti says there is no other way. And na karma lipyate nare. This is the only way that karma will not lipyate, to lip dhatu it is. Lip dhatu is to, when you have an ointment and you rub it on your skin. So that is what lipyate, lip is, And the same word Bhagavan has used in chapter 4 of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, name karmani limpanti. No karma is touching me at all, because the reason that it doesn't touch, karma can touch. If you take an ointment, you cannot apply it in air. You need a substratum. You need your back, some foot, wherever the pain is, head, you need a substratum. So same way for karma to stick, it needs a substratum. It needs a locus. The locus is provided by the ego. It's all in subtle form. So it's not like it's a gross locus. No, it's a subtle locus. And that ego provides. And the ego is being provided by the notion, I am doing this action. That is what is giving that locus to that karma to stick. So when I do actions thinking that I am the doer and I am going to enjoy the results of this action, that is where that karma is sticking. And so, if na karma lipyate nare, if this karma should not stick to us, we must not give it that locus. And the way we can not give it that locus is by saying, I'm only an instrument in the hands of the Lord. I am not doing this for myself. Then there is no locus. Then that karma cannot stick to you. Okay? So, Shruti has explained this mantra for those who are karma oriented. They say we cannot understand this path of knowledge. So then you do karma and then you purify your mind and then you will understand mantra one. So do mantra two and then you will understand mantra one. Now, maybe there are people who they don't have jnana also and then they don't want to do karma also. Then what happens to them? So Shruti tells in mantra number 3, Asurya namate lokaha andhena tamasavrataha tanste pretya bhigachanti yeke chatmahano janaha. Suryana. Okay. Sunless are those worlds and enveloped in blinding gloom to which all those people who are slayers of their own souls go departing from here. So Lokaha is worlds, a field of experience. There are four kinds of people that we'll normally see in this world, in our experience. We can name them. The first type, which are the most evolved kind of people, are the siddhas. Siddhas, siddha means that which I have attained. So when we say siddhas, we are talking about realized masters. So Nisargadatt Maharaj, Swami Vivekananda, Gurudev, Tapon Maharaj, Raman Maharshi, Ramakrishna Paramahansa, we have seen these people. We have known about them, right? So those are the siddhas. That is one class of people. The next are sadhakas. Sadhaka is a seeker who is trying to become a siddha. He's a little bit lower. So he knows the importance of being a siddha. He knows what are the advantages or whatever it is. Maybe he knows that that is what Shruti has said as the goal, as the ultimate goal for all of us. So he's trying to be. So he's a seeker. So he's a sadhaka. So there's siddha, there's sadhaka. Then there is vishayi. Vishayi means, vishayi here means objects. So one who is very much attached to objects and wants those objects. So there's a lot of rajas. So he is performing actions to get those objects. You know, promotion, bonus, job, degree, wife, any object can be anything. Okay. So this vishayi means the one who is constantly striving to get objects in the world. Okay. So he has not reached the state of seeker even. He thinks that the happiness is in the objects. So he's trying to work for them. And then the last one are the pamaras. Pamara means he's not doing anything. He's not a siddha. He's not a seeker. He doesn't even know what this is. Vishayi, at least he's striving to gain something in the material world. Pamara is just living his life. And this verse, this mantra is now referring to the fourth category, Pamaras, who are only indulging in sense pleasures. Okay, only my body, whatever is comfortable to my body, I will do. So that is what Shruti is now referring to. Now, Asurya Namate Lokaha. Okay, nama, name. So the name of that world, world of experience is Asurya. Surya, sun. Asurya, no sun. So that's why he says blinding, enveloped in blinding gloom. We'll see what it is. Andhena tamasa avrutaha. So there is a blind, andhena, andha, blind. You know, blind darkness. I don't know whether it's there in Calgary. In Vancouver, we have a restaurant called The Dark Table. And The Dark Table is sponsored by the CNIB. And you go in there and the waiters are all blind. And it's completely dark. So you don't see anything at all. Okay? So it is completely covered by tamas. I'm just giving you the word meaning and we'll see what it exactly means. So it is blinding darkness. It literally, even if you hold your hand in front of your face, you cannot see it. You know you're doing it, but you cannot see the hand. You cannot see what you're eating. It's just to give people an experience of how the blind people feel. Okay? So that is andhena tamasa avrutaha. Taaste pretyabhi gachati adigachati. So when they die, leave the body, they yeke chatmahano janaha. So they are covered. These pamaras are such people that are covered by this blinding darkness and they're as if committing suicide. So we should see this, what this is. So as if committing suicide, if we start from the last line, what Shruti says is that, see, the human birth is extremely rare. Okay, Shruti is not saying it, but spiritual masters the siddhas have told us, Vivek Churamani, Bhagwan Shankaracharya has said that this human birth is very, very rare. Secondly, this human birth is the only way through which we can get liberation. Even the denizens, the gods of the heavens want to have a mortal birth. because there is no getting liberation from any of the other worlds. Forget the seven worlds, and there are seven and below us and seven above us. So below, to forget it. There's no chance. But the ones above also, there is no chance. That is the importance of this Bhuloka. This earth, this mortal plane of consciousness, this mortal body. We get a human body because we have done 50% papa and 50% punya. 50-50, when that ratio is there, we get a human body. And the human body becomes extremely important because it is a gateway to liberation. It is a gateway to heaven also, but heaven is a point of return. So it is the only gateway to liberation. And therefore, so what Shruti is saying is, if a person is living his life like a Pamara, indulging only in sense pleasures, the one who considers this earth to be a bhoga bhumi, not a karma bhumi, the one who says that, oh, all these things are created for what? For my enjoyment. And that's all I'm going to do is enjoy, 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 enjoy. You know, whatever it is, indulge and enjoy. So such a person, having gotten the human birth, is wasting it. It is like committing suicide. This is what is meant by ye ke chatmahano janah. Such people, janaha people, such people who do not even have an idea that there is something known as liberation, that I should strive for it, that there is something that I should do, then they're wasting their life. They are committing suicide. Okay. So in Mahabharata, there is a story. Arjun had this Gandiv Dhanush. His bow was Gandiv, right? And he was very fond of it. He was very, very, very much fond of it. So he had taken a vow that if anybody insults my or laughs at my Gandiv bow, I will kill them. That's a pratignya he had taken. And it so happened one day that Yudhishthir only laughed at that Gandiv bow. His older brother, now there was a problem. Now Arjun has taken the pratinya that I will kill the person. Now his own oldest brother has done it. So of course, Bhagwan Shri Krishna has to come in. So Bhagwan tells Arjun, you know what? If you insult your elders, it is as good as killing them. So why don't you now insult Yudhishthir? And then it's like killing. This is what it means. It's like not that they are committing suicide, but it is like committing suicide because you've wasted your life. You've wasted your complete life. Okay. And then after death, so tanste pretya abhigachati. So once they leave this body, where do they go? They go to a world of darkness. Now, this world of darkness, Asurya, right? World of darkness, andhena tamadhi, which is like dark like that. So not that there is a real world of darkness there, but what it means is this is the darkness they have within themselves, the ignorance of the self. Okay. That ignorance will get carried with them into the next birth. It's like if I have a headache, if I'm sitting here and I've got a headache, if I go to my bedroom, do you think the headache will just go away? It is with me. The headache is with me. So even if I go into the bedroom or I go out for a walk or something, the headache will continue. Okay. So what is being said is this, not that there is this world somewhere else. This dark world is within them because they don't see the self. They don't recognize the self. They don't recognize, they have no idea that there is something known as liberation, that there is something known as a God. There is something that I can do about it. So that dark, even if they die, even if they physically commit suicide, that darkness will go with them because all our vasanas are going with us in through the subtle body, right? The subtle body separates from the gross body. That is what death is. And that subtle body then carries all the impressions in subtle form along with it and looks for another body to take birth in, to exhaust those vasanas. Now, if those vasanas are such vasanas that there is no God, what is there? This world is only meant for enjoying. And that is what I keep doing all my life. When I die, I will carry that with me. this is what it means. Asurya, they go to this sunless world, means their own sunless world within is being carried. So no matter where, they might be born in a very rich family and a very this family, that ignorance remains with them. Okay, so this, so that's why the mantra third is, okay, Shruti is saying, I'm telling you this, so now you at least do what is said in mantra two. Minimum, at least do that. And when you do that, you will reach mantra one backwards. Okay. Okay. Now what the question arises, yeah, you're saying Isha and you're saying that we should get liberated and we should, there is this infinite substratum. Can you describe it for us? What is it? I don't know. So far it has not been described. Nothing has been, see, first Purnam, okay, infinite, okay, what? Nothing has been described. Now in 4 and 5, Shruti will actually give a description of that Purnam that she spoke about in the first, this thing, or Isha that she spoke about in Mantra 1, okay? And 2 and 3, 2, she gave the path, how to get there, karma, through karma, and 3 becomes a warning. It's a warning. If you are going to be living like this, that's the same thing that is waiting for you in the next birth. Nothing more is going to happen. Okay? Aneja dekam manaso javiyoho nainan deva apnuvan purvamarshata tadbhavato nyanate titishthata tasmin napomatarishwa dadhati. The self is motionless. So here is a description of the self. Okay. One, swifter than the mind. The devas could not overtake. It ran before them. Sitting, it goes faster than those who run after it. By it, Matarishwan supports the activity of all living beings. Na ejata, aneja dekam. So that is na ejata and ekam. That is the break of that word. Ejam is to move, tremble, to tremble or move. So there is no movement in the self. Okay. If we even take, we don't know the self. So what does it mean? There is no movement. We can take the example of space, which will help us understand. So space, which is grosser, is the subtlest element, but yet it is grosser than the self. Space itself cannot move. Okay. So if I move my hand in space like this, the reason that I can move my hand is because there is space. Okay. There is space between me and the computer, so I can move it. Is the space moving with my hand? Space is not moving. Okay. And the reason that space is not moving is because space is all pervading. Even if space wanted to move, where will it move? So imagine self being even subtler than space. And we have already said that Purnam is that which is unlimited, which is infinite. Where will it move? Therefore, self is considered as motionless. Okay. Ekam. Ekam, one break of the word, one meaning of the word ekam is eti iti ekam. Eti means gone, going. Eti means gone or going. So ekam means that which has gone everywhere. Ekam. Okay. So that's why it said it's all pervading. And it is every, in the sense, whatever that already we said that this idam, this Purnam idam, whatever you see, everywhere there is that self, right? That substratum is there. So it has gone everywhere. When I look at myself, and I told you, like when we are very much established in limitedness, right? So when I say that I am here, so I'm not in some other room, I'm limited. But this ekam indicates eti. It has gone here in and through every single object. So if I'm here and I'm sitting on the chair, nobody else can sit, but this ekam has gone through the chair, through me, through the computer, through the wires, through the mouse, through everything. So that is one meaning of ekam. Second meaning of ekam means single, one, ek, first one, right? So there is only one. There is no differences at all. So the three types of differences that we are familiar with are sajatiya, vijatiya, and swagata bheda, bheda differences. These are the three types. So sajatiya means same species. Okay. So when I say same species, when you look at the human species, there is man, there is woman, there is child, there is old person. So there are differences within the same, the species is the same. It's all the human race. So, you know, some have blonde hair and gray hair and black hair and long and short. So sajatiya bheda is within the species, there is a difference. Then the next one is vijatiya bheda. Vijatiya means different species. So the plant kingdom is a species, the animal kingdom is a species, the human kingdom is a species, and also the mineral world. So there is definitely differences. All animals are different than me, that the human plants are different than the animals, etc. So that is a vijatiya bheda. And the last is swagata. Swagata means within myself there is differences. So my eyes are not like my nose. My nose is not like my lips. My lips are not like my hands. Hands are different from legs. And each one has its own functionality. One hands cannot walk. You know, nose cannot talk. So each one has its own specified duty. And each one has a different shape, a size, a function. So within myself, there are a lot of differences. These type of differences, by the word ekam, Shruti denies in the self. So there is no swagata bheda. Within the self, there is no difference. There is no other species, ekam, ekam, alone, single, alone. There is no other species. And there is, within the species, there is no difference. So these three bhedas, these three differences are denied by that word ekam. Okay, ekam. Those are the two meanings. And alone, ekam also means alone, single. There is none other. Then, swifter than the mind. So it is swifter than the mind. So when we compare our body and our mind, obviously our mind is much more swifter because it is subtler. It is not only faster, but it can go to places which my body cannot reach. Like sitting here, I can think of my house in India. I can think of my friends in different countries, different places. My mind can think of anything. My mind can think of the moon, of being on the moon. Or I went there last year and the mind can go there. Can the body go there? No. Okay. So the mind is swifter than the body. But what is being said is the self is swifter than the mind, which means that when the mind reaches that place, suppose I'm sitting here and now I'm thinking of my house in India. So even within a fraction of a second, when my mind reaches that place, consciousness is already there because it's all pervading. See, plane. Take the example of a plane. Okay, so the plane is taking off from Vancouver Airport. Now it is going to reach Calgary or London or Toronto, right? So it takes off from the Vancouver Airport space and it lands in Toronto. Is not space already there in Toronto? Right? Or Calgary or London or wherever. So what is being said in that example, what we can say is space is swifter than the plane. Why? Because before the plane reached, space was already there. It's not like space moved, but it's already there. It's all pervading. So same way, before even the mind reaches any place, it is very, very fast, no doubt about it. Consciousness is already there. Do you get this idea? Then the question arises, this Nanu is there, Purva Pakshi, he says, 1 minute you are saying self is motionless and 1 minute you are saying it is swifter than the mind. So swifter is movement, right? If it is moving faster than the mind, then it's indicating movement, and then you're still saying it is motionless. So these two words have to be understood. Like I told you, Shruti is not wrong. Shruti is never wrong. So if Shruti has said it here, so the way to understand these two contradictory terms, and that is what makes the Upanishads very mystic, because there are very, very many, many contradictory terms that are used here. So when we say motionless is from one standpoint, so let me give you an example. I'm standing on the earth, and now I say, what a beautiful sunrise. The sun is rising. And I will recommend also, please go to that place and go to that mountain and see how the sun comes up on the horizon and it's beautiful and blah, blah. Or I will say, oh, what a beautiful sunset. Now the sun is going down and now it will disappear from my sight. Okay, I'm standing on the earth. This is a standpoint from a person who's standing on the earth. Now, if I go and stand on the sun, what am I going to say? Am I going to say the sun is going down? Am I going to say the sun is going up? I'm going to say sun is motionless because the sun is motionless. So it is a stand. Where are you seeing from? It's like if my son is standing here, he'll look at me and he'll say, she's my mother. But if my parents are standing on the other side, they'll say, she's my daughter. It's a standpoint. So same person is becoming daughter and same person is becoming mother at the same time. How come? How can you be mother and daughter at the same time? Yes. Because I am daughter to somebody else and I'm mother to somebody else. Same way here, when it is said that the self is motionless, from the standpoint of the self, it does not move. Like space never moves. From the standpoint of space, space never moves. However, if you take it from the standpoint of the upadhi, for space, the upadhi is plane. So when we say that space is swifter than the plane, when the plane lands in Toronto, space is already there. So from the standpoint of the plane, space is swifter than the plane. From the standpoint of the upadhi, the body or the mind, the self is faster. But from the standpoint of the self, it is not moving at all. Okay? Self is motionless. One, swifter than the mind. The devas could not overtake. Devas, devata. So this devata word comes, the break is dyotanat deva. Dyotanat deva means that which illumines. Dyotanat is to illumine. So devata means that which illumines. So if we take this definition of devata, then there are several meanings of devata that will come. The first, of course, meaning, the highest meaning is Satchit and Ananda, because that is the pure consciousness is what is illumining everything. It's illumining our body, our mind, our thoughts, our intellect, all the objects around us. So that is one devata. The other meaning of devata is this Indra devata. Indra is the god of the heavens. Varuna devata, Agni devata. They're all these deities who are also... Surya Devata is there. They're also illuminating. That is also one meaning. The third meaning of Devata also is phenomenal forces. That also means Devata. They're also called Devatas. So the wind god is called Varuna Devata, right? Fire god is called Agni. These are the phenomenal forces that can cause damage. And of course, they also are under the command of Ishvara. That is there. Then the next thing devata also means mind. Because devata means that which illumines. So the mind is the one that is illumining all the objects to us. All the knowledge is being getting into the mind. So mind is also an illuminating factor. And in that sense, it is also known as a devata. Then the senses also are illumining. So senses also, so the five sense organs of perception are also devata, because the eyes are illumining color and form for me. The nose is illumining smell. The ears are illumining sound. The tongue is illumining taste and the skin is illumining touch. Okay, that which illumines. When we use the word devata, suddenly God comes and one form comes in our mind. But we have to take the meaning like that. This is how. So in this verse, when Shruti is saying devatas, the devas could not overtake. She means deva haja. Nainan deva apnuvan purva marshata. So what she means is the senses. Here, the word devadev has to be taken as senses. So what is being said is that the devas could not overtake. Overtake means through the senses, you cannot reach the supreme reality. In Prashnopinishad, there comes a very humorous story. So all these sense organs are having a meeting, and mind is also having them in there. Mind is their king. So they're all having a meeting, and everybody, I say we are very supreme, and everybody's saying we are supreme. Everybody like us, we always think I'm the best. So eyes are saying I'm the best. Nose is saying I'm okay, fine. They say, okay, we will know who is the best, the one who reaches the supreme reality first. So that was decided. So all of them started. They said, okay, let's go in the search of supreme. This is a humorous story. That's how that Upanishad explains the same concept. The devas could not overtake. It's exactly the same thing. So they started walking, and then one by one, the senses, you know, no, this is not possible for us. This is all one, withdraw. Mind was the one that was going fast, and it went up beyond the senses and all. Afterwards, mind also got tired. So the idea is that you cannot reach this through the senses. And the reason is that it is because of this Satchit Ananda that the senses are functioning. Very simple example given by Gurudev is the flashlight and the batteries. The flashlight illumines everything in the room or in the house or whatever, but it cannot turn around and illumine its own battery cells. That is exactly the idea here. So here, overtake means they cannot understand, they cannot know. And that's why all actions happen through these sense organs and the organs of action. And that is also another reason why action can never take you to the supreme reality. Directly, it cannot. It's an indirect means. And like in Mantra 2, Shruti told us, karma, you do it in with a certain attitude, all you can get is purity of mind. That's it. That is the limit of karma. So if you, after that, don't expect much from karma. So, but that's a great thing to have, purity of mind, because only that will give you knowledge. That will make you understand the knowledge, grasp the knowledge. Okay. So that is what this means here, that devas could not overtake. It ran before them. So it means here the supreme reality, okay? So it ran means you should not take it that it is running physically. It means, you know, in a running race, if you can't catch hold of the person ahead of you, then that is what means. Means the senses cannot reach. That's the simple meaning. Upanishad always uses these different kinds of languages, words. Sitting, it goes faster than those who run after it. Okay, so the example for this is sitting. How can it go? Okay, so very common example in our day-to-day life is I am sitting in the car and driving. Okay, so I'm going from here to my ashram. Okay, have I moved? I was just sitting and driving. I did not move. I did not take one step. I did not put one foot forward. My foot was always on the brake or the accelerator. My hands were on this thing. Sitting, yet I moved. Right? I did reach my destination, which means I moved. But did I actually physically move myself? No, I didn't. It's the car. So the upadhi moved. I didn't move. And this is what it goes far. It is sitting. So it is sitting within the upadhi. This instruction is, see, this verse is giving instructions from two different standpoints. Huh? That's why it appears like, that's why already I told you, self is motionless. From the standpoint of the self, it is motionless. But from the standpoint of the upadhi, it is moving faster than the mind. Okay, like the sun. From the standpoint of the sun is not rising, but from the standpoint of earth, it is rising and setting. Same way, this sitting means sitting within the upadhi, right? It is sitting. It is not moving. Like I am sitting in the car. I am not moving. Physically, I am not moving, but the car is moving, and therefore I have moved from point A to point B. So same way, sitting within the upadhi, sitting within us, sitting within every living being, sitting within even inert as existence, if I throw a stone, then sitting within that stone, it has reached there. That is what this means. Sitting, it goes faster than those who run after it. And the reason that it is faster than those who run is because it is actually already present there as well. The consciousness which is within me, which I think it's me, is already there in the point, at the destination point B. Right? So sitting within me, it's that's why it appears very contradictory. And then we'll see why is Shruti giving all these contradictory instructions. So we'll see that as well. Oh, is this clear? Is clear? Okay, any questions then ask me, huh? Now, tasmin napo matarishwa dadhati. Okay, so matarishwa is air. That is what it is. What is matarishwa? Wind, air. Okay, wind or air. So, air, if we take the hierarchy of the elements, space, fire, air, water, and earth. So air is supporting water. Activity of all living beings. One meaning we can take, literal meaning. We cannot survive without air. Right? We cannot survive without breathing. So it is obviously supporting all the living beings. So that is one meaning of Matarishwa. But Matarishwa, the meaning of Matarishwa is one that moves in space, and therefore it is air. That's right. So one meaning is that. The second meaning is air is the one that is supporting water. How? Because water is made out of H2O, hydrogen and oxygen, which is air. So that's why air is supporting water. Okay. All these elements, from the subtlest point, because that's why space came into existence first from Maya. Because there was space, air can be held. So space is supporting air, right? And air is supporting water, because this thing. And space is supporting fire as well. So all these elements are supporting each other, and then by it, why buy it? Because space has come from where? From the pure consciousness. How did creation happen? Pure consciousness, when Maya stirred, became Ishwara, right? Ishwara plus Maya equals pure consciousness. So Ishwara cannot function without pure consciousness. Maya cannot function without pure consciousness. And then from Maya, there is space and air and fire and water and earth. So all these are ultimately supported by whom? By the pure consciousness. Therefore, by it, Matarishwan. By it means Matarishwan is supporting living beings. Like, okay, we are being supported by air. No problem. Who is supporting air? Who is supporting air? What is the support for air? Is space. Direct support for air is space. Because without space, air cannot exist. Matarishwa, the literal meaning of Matarishwa is that which is moving in space. So what is moving in space is air, wind. So space is supporting this. But who is supporting space? Who is supporting space? Is Maya. Maya, who is supporting? Pure consciousness. Maya cannot exist without pure consciousness. Maya is the inherent power of the Lord. Okay? So Maya cannot exist without pure consciousness. So therefore, ultimately, who is supporting this entire creation is the pure consciousness. Now, the other meaning of this is Matarishwa means air, which means pranas, can be taken as pranas. And there is individual pranas and there is total pranas, totality, right? We have seen the concept of macrocosm and microcosm, the totality and the individuality. So the individual pranas are supported, the individual is supported by the totality. So Matarishwa can be taken as the total pranas. Interpretation, it's an interpretation. This is the second interpretation. It can be taken as the total pranas. If total pranas are belonging to whom? Ishwara. total pranas are belonging to Ishwara, because totality is Ishwara, Hiranyagarbha, and Virat Purusha. Just like we have Pradnya, causal body, subtle body, and gross body, the totality is causal body is Ishwara, subtle body is Hiranyagarbha, and the gross body is Virat, is known as Virat. And so this Matarishwa can be taken as Hiranyagarbha, totality, okay? And then Ishwara is supporting all these living beings. How is it supporting? By being the karma phala data. What is it that is making this world revolve? What is it that is giving us rebirth? Think. What is giving us rebirth is the results of our karmas. Please understand. We do karma with a notion in mind, I am the doer, I will enjoy. That is creating a vasana which is stored in our subtle body, and that vasana has to fructify, and that is why I need another body. And that is why that jiva takes up another body. Because how can the jiva exhaust its vasanas without a field of experience? If I have the desire to see a movie, I need a movie theater, or I need YouTube to watch the movie on TV or computer or iPad or whatever, phone. People are watching on the phone, right? I need a field of experience to exhaust the vasana that I have. And by handing out this Ishwara karma phala data, means he's handing out the results of actions, he keeps this world rotating, keeps this world going. Right? That's why we are going through birth and rebirth, birth and rebirth, birth and rebirth. And that is how he supports the living beings. That is the second interpretation of this line. Okay. Tasmin napo apa. Tasmin apa matarishwa dadati. Apa is water. So air is supporting water. Who is supporting air is space. Who is supporting space is Maya. Who is supporting Maya is pure. So by it. So pure consciousness. Okay. That's one. Second is Matarishwa being air or pranas, total pranas. Total pranas, subtle body. Hiranyagarbha. What is pranas? Subtle. It is subtle body. It's a part of the subtle body. Why we are saying subtle? Remember, gross body is this body, and then subtle body is the pranas and the mind and intellect. And then there is the causal body. So this total subtle bodies becomes Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha belongs to Ishwara. He is the karma phaladata. He is giving out results as per our actions. We'll talk a little bit more next time. But because we must not consider Ishwara to be randomly handing out results. That's why people who don't know, they say, why God did this to me? Are, but what did you do in the past? Do you know that? But Ishwara knows that. So depending, it's like, you know, you write a paper. So in a classroom, 30, 40 students are writing the paper. Now one is getting 80%, one is getting 70%. How did I get? Arey, but what did you write? You only wrote 70% worth of material. So you got 70%. He got 80% because he wrote that much material. That way, us also, we don't know. We only know what we have done. Like if I'm supposed to write an exam, I will know how much I've studied in this life or during that month or week or whatever. But I don't know what I've done in the past. So what will happen is, you know what happens? If I've studied very hard, but yet I'm supposed to fail, at that given moment, I won't remember anything. And then that, I think, oh yeah, I studied so much and I didn't remember. Yeah, because you were to go through that experience of failure. Because you have done something in the past, and that past is an unknown entity. Okay, so Ishwara is the karma phala data, but not random karma phala data. Exactly, he knows what you have done in the past, and as per that, the result is being handed out, and therefore there should be no complaints of whatever results that come to us. Okay, so I'm going to stop here for today. And are there any questions? Clear? So we'll quickly revise this next this thing. Okay, so the next Monday is the 10th, and I'll be here, and there is going to be class. The one thing that I just wanted to tell you is that on the 17th, I have to go do some prayers. 17th is a Monday, and that those prayers are exactly at 6:30 as well. So I will not be able to take class. I can two options. I want to definitely complete this text. So if you guys don't mind, and we can either extend into July, I'm here, or just for that, instead of 17th, I can take class on the 18th, because 16th also I'm busy in the evening. So instead of Monday, just for that day, discuss amongst yourselves and then let me know. Either we do that, or then I may need to go into July. So if that's okay with all of you, just maybe one or two, depending. It'll go fast now. After this, the verses, later on, we have to take three verses at the same time. So it'll go faster. So just think. But next Monday, as is, 10th, class will be there. We'll take class. Okay. So 17th, I can't take. I'm here in town, but I won't be able to take. I'm sorry about that. But it's prayer. So when I get called, like as a mission teacher, then I cannot refuse. Okay. So it's not like I'm going for any social function or party or anything. So I know 17th evening I'm here. I'm like, so you guys decide. Okay. Any questions?
Jayaji, I have a question.
Yeah.
Pure consciousness and witness consciousness is one and the same, or?
Yeah, what it is when we say Sakshi, which is witness. See, if you take from the standpoint of pure consciousness, it is Ekam. There is nothing else. So there is no question of witness. When do I say, see, I am witnessing all of you because you are there. Suppose now all of you go away, whom will I witness? Will I be called as a witness at that point?
No.
So pure consciousness on its own is not a witness of anything, because there is nothing to witness. It is Ekam. There's nothing to witness. But when it comes to Upadhi, from the standpoint of Upadhi, then there is Upadhi. There is the thoughts to witness. There is the body to witness. And therefore it becomes Sakshi Chaitanya.
Sakshi
Chaitanya and Chaitanya. That is what is called. When you say Chaitanya, there is nothing to witness. Then there is only Chaitanya. There is nothing else. But Sakshi comes into being when you give reality to the body, mind and intellect. So thoughts are being witnessed, right? Who is witnessing the thought? Sakshi Chaitanya is witnessing, not Chaitanya. Because when we say Chaitanya, there is nothing else. But from this side, from our side, from the Upadhi point of view, when I say I have thoughts, then who is witnessing the thought? Sakshi Chaitanya is witnessing the thought.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. The standpoint is very important to understand. Otherwise, it gets very confusing. That's why this, and yeah, we have to, I'll let you know why there's all these contradictions. Why does Shruti talk like that in contradictory terms?
Okay.
Okay, that's the same, it's the standpoint.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Yes.
Witness, understand, when we use the word witness, the word can be used only if there is some object to be witnessed. Yes. I am now witnessing you and you are witnessing me because we are sitting in front of each other. If I go away or you go away, I'm not a witness and neither are you guys a witness at that point.
So that is Sakshi
Chaitanya. That is Sakshi Chaitanya. Yeah, that is Sakshi Chaitanya. So within this Atma, it is also known as Sakshi Chaitanya.
Okay. So Sakshi is in Jiva then?
Sakshi Chaitanya is in the body. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The body. Yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yes. So I'll see you next Monday.
Yes.
Time, and we'll continue. It's a beautiful text. And we will, there are only 18 mantras. So I really don't want to be leaving it halfway for the whole summer. All right. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Harihi Om all. Thank you for attending.